You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
We got a race weekend. We're here. It's exciting. We got qualifying tonight, but here's the thing, Tim. It wouldn't be this season in F1 if there wasn't silly season talk to kick off the show. This is supposed to be reserved for August, but with all the drivers and all the open positions, there is some Carlos Sainz news, and it starts with Red Bull, which kind of blew the cover on Audi. Can you kind of explain this one to us?
Yeah, sure. I mean, so Sainz dropped a bit of a hint earlier today. So obviously today being the media day for Formula One, about where it could end up in 2025. Paraphrasing a lot of this, but said all of his best options were still open, but, you know, wants to fight more for race victories and wants to be in a race-winning car for next season. And that's something that's very appealing to him. That's interesting from hearing that. Obviously, you fully assume Red Bull immediately, right? But
yeah,
you know, Horner, and even you can even think of Mercedes as well. I mean, at some point, Horner and Wolff have both been very outspoken about Carlos's performances so far this season, Adam. And I mean, Christian Horner's even gone as far as stating that, you know, Perez just needs to keep doing what he's doing to hold on to the seat that he already occupies. And I think if you look over on the Mercedes side, you know, Wolff, you know, he appears to be waiting to see what happens with Kimi Antonelli. Kimi Antonelli, obviously their junior driver, races in Formula 2. He had a two-day test in Austria at the Red Bull Ring this past week. It snowed on him one of the days that he was there. I think it was his first day, but I mean, he did over 500 laps, I believe it was, in the W12.
Oh, wow.
So, like, a really competitive race car. And then he's going to be jumping into a pretty bad car later this season in the W13. So I think for Mercedes, just trying to evaluate what they have there, because we had mentioned on this podcast before, when it comes to Mercedes and Kimi Antonelli and Toto Wolff, I think the thing is that they don't want to miss on a potential generational driver. What they feel they have here is that. Now, bringing him up too soon, there's a couple of issues with that if he's not ready, right, Adam? Mm-hmm. I mean, you could really dent his confidence if he comes out and has a very poor first season in Formula One, and then you've got a massive regulation change that comes in 2026, and you kind of need experience to bridge that gap and to be competitive right away. But I mean, if they feel he's as talented as they think he is, then it should be a no-brainer to bring him on for 2025. But I think the thing going back to Carlos, though, is, Adam, like, he can't wait too much longer, because I think, like,
this might be height of his value, right?
100%. Like, he could really run the risk of not having a seat at all, right? Mm-hmm. It's like I had said, following the Japanese Grand Prix, Audi wants him. Right, Audi wants Carlos Sainz, and it sounds like it would be a Sainz-Hulkenberg fit at Sauber next season. Helmut Marko said today that, you know, Carlos has been made an offer from Audi that they can't match or beat, and Helmut Marko also saying that, you know, they're happy with Sergio Perez and they just need him to stay consistent with his performances. But it's still, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, Carlos just confirming that, look, I want to be in a seat that's going to be race winning potential. I mean, Adam, like when you look at this, like Carlos has a few options for sure. There's no question about that. But at the end of the day, I think he has to either go somewhere where he's going to get that long-term security, mm-hmm. which he's coveted for a very long time. And he has
he's been on a bunch of 1-year race terms, right?
Exactly. And he's been very open about that. Or, you know, take a bit of a gamble, wait and see what happens with Sergio Perez, wait and see what happens with that Mercedes seat. And those, I don't think, Adam, are going to be long-term solutions.
Agreed. Now, one of the things, Tim, that I was thinking about, if Red Bull's saying, well, Sainz has got an offer in front of him, they're obviously well aware, and they were obviously talking to him, right? That makes complete sense. Him going to Mercedes always felt awkward to me because of Kimi Antonelli. And we can talk about Mercedes in a second, but what makes sense with this Audi thing is if they're willing to offer him long-term, then he can shepherd the car through whatever issues it's going to have. And it will have issues. Like, you know, I don't know what their expectation is for next year, but I would imagine that the majority of their resources even now are going into 2026. And so you have to be willing to accept a car that is not as good to hope that, you know, you come out screaming come 2026. And I'm sure that, you know, the Sauber team would obviously love to turn it around and make it a better squad for next year because you have to ramp up. But with the, you know, with things like personnel and pit stops and those types of things, you can sort of carry over into 2026, but the car itself, you're not going to be able to. The one thing I would have concerns with though, Tim, is if he signs there, you know, and this is something we've seen, I think, with Daniel Ricciardo most obviously, is if that car doesn't fit his style, confidence in Formula One is such a major player. And that has to be going through Carlos's mind because he's very confident right now. He's in a great car. He's performing. He's getting results. Like, what's going to happen? And he's been through a lot, but what's going to happen when he's performing really well and the car can't get great results? How does that make a driver feel?
Kills you.
Yeah.
Inside. You know,
even though, just, you know, right?
Yeah. Like, you know you're good enough to be fighting with the elite of the elite, the top of the top at the front of the field. You know you can win Grand Prix. You know that deep down inside, if you had that opportunity, you could probably compete for a championship victory. And as a driver, you're taking all of that and you're moving that down towards the end of the grid.
Mm-hmm.
It's soul sucking. Like, it's just extremely a difficult thing to deal with. And then sometimes I've seen where, you know, drivers have done things like that, Adam, and they struggle to kind of get back to that confidence of them knowing that they are the person that needs to, that can win a race, that can win championships, that can, you know, sometimes you kind of get that sort of stamped out a bit and you have to find it within yourself to reignite it. And so I see what Carlos is doing here. He's going to have to roll the dice on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if there is an opportunity that opens for him at Red Bull and that's what he wants is to win races, that's a direction you have to go in. But then again, you're going to be going up against Max Verstappen.
Yes. Yes.
And we've all seen what he's done to teammates since he's moved into Red Bull Racing. He's destroyed them, except for Daniel Ricciardo, who put up quite a bit of a fight against him. But outside of that, what do we have? We have a laundry list here of drivers. You have Gasly, Albon, Perez.
Yep. Yeah.
Didn't he replace? I can't remember if he
replaced Kvyat.
Replace Kvyat.
Yeah.
And I mean, you're going to get.
And he was Carlos's partner back at Toro Rosso.
I was just going to say they were teammates. And so, you know, you bring Carlos back. What's that relationship like? Is Carlos going to want to play a number two? No. I mean, there's no way, right? So it's like.
No.
His stock and his value is very high. But I just don't see there being a great opportunity and or fit for him at Red Bull. Is there something different at Mercedes? I mean, I think so, but again, like, that's not a long-term solution.
Right, right. I wondered it with Mercedes, and this sounds really stupid, but you know, Toto's got a great relationship with Bottas. They, if Kimi Antonelli doesn't win Formula 2, to me, it's like, what's the rush to get him into Formula 1? If you could bring back a guy who's just solid behind George Russell for a year and then wait for the change in 2026, it seems to make a lot more sense than throwing a driver into a bad car under regulations that have not been favorable when you have the regulation changes coming. Am I wrong on that, or is it like he's too good, somebody will snap him up?
Yeah, that's the fear, I think, Adam, is that, you know, someone else could come in and pick him up, take him away, and then, you know, Toto Wolff is kind of left there with, oh, I almost had Max Verstappen.
Which he almost did, almost, right?
Yeah, he did. Yeah. And then I almost had Kimi Antonelli, and then they were both gone. But then again, you got to look at it and be like, Toto, you had Lewis. Hamilton.
Yeah. Yeah. Fred Vasseur has said that going into this Grand Prix, because, you know, McLaren expects to be a bit slower this weekend, that his goal now with the Ferrari team, which will not have upgrades for a while, although it doesn't seem like they need it with the pace that they have, he wants to push Red Bull into making mistakes. And this is something that we talked about, you know, when I was guesting here on the show last year, is like, Red Bull, the thing about Max that's so astounding, and I think people are taking this for granted, is that you see Sergio Perez make mistakes. He's a good driver. Nobody's going to dispute the results he's had, the races he's won, that sort of thing. But there are races where he's, I don't know, he's qualified sixth. And Max just does not do that. He's been automatic. So do you think that Ferrari getting closer and closer in time, do you think that they can get inside Max Verstappen's head a little bit, force him to take a wrong corner or push something or force an issue that he shouldn't be doing? Like, is this even... I know I love Fred Vasseur because he's such a rascal. Like, he really is. He's just like, he's like a fun uncle. I wonder about this, and I think, okay, is it possible that a Charles Leclerc is going to intimidate a Max Verstappen? Doesn't seem possible at this point, right?
At the moment, no. I mean, at the moment, Red Bull definitely has the advantage at him. Like, they just do. But, you know, hearing from Adrian Newey, reading some of the reports that kind of came out recently, and motorsport.com did a really good interview with Newey recently. And, you know, Adrian believes that the field is going to close up. He says it's become harder and harder for them to find more performance with this set of regulations. And so by that, it's kind of like, okay, well, we've set the bar, and now we're just chipping away at that bar. We're just trying to like find incremental gains from now, because we've kind of broken it wide open and there's not much left. And I think also at the same time that, you know, he's saying things like that, I think, you know, you're also having to look at the new round of regulations that are going to be coming in for next season. Okay, where does that put everybody else for 2025? And then you look at what Ferrari is doing and how much performance they've been able to carve out. It's very impressive. Ferrari's done a great job. And I think at the end of the day, when we get further into this season, Ferrari is going to be putting pressure on Red Bull. It's for certain. We've already seen that there is certain track characteristics where Ferrari excels and Red Bull simply doesn't. So there's going to be tracks where Ferrari is going to have to take advantage of that. But jumping back to some of Adrian Newey's comments, you know, he thinks that it'll become a much tighter fight, obviously later this year, but he also thinks that when we get into 2025, you know, the gaps are even closer, the teams are going to be even closer to them. And so, you know, that's what we want, right, Adam? We want that convergence. We want teams to close that gap. And as fans watching the sport, this is what you've been waiting for. You know, you've been waiting for these teams to converge so we have exciting racing at the front competing for race victories. And, you know, this is where I get into like regulation changes, right? We're coming up to a regulation change in 2026. And, you know, I agree with Newey when he says that, you know, that's going to, you know, blow things wide open again, right? It's just,
right.
We're going to have you know, will most likely get a team that, you know, finds something and they get out in front of everyone. And then the whole pack is chasing again. And so that's why I think having a regulation set so soon, I think is going to start to become an issue, because you're going to have more dominance again when you get into 2026. One team is definitely going to hit on something, Adam.
Yeah.
They will.
Yep.
And then everyone's going to be chasing them for a few years. Like,
one team will have the double diffuser.
Yeah, right? Like, someone is going to, like, just hit on something, and that'll be it. Well, all these teams are going to have to play catch-up. And so,
and the, you know what, Tim, though? The convergence you're talking about has happened just outside of Red Bull, right? You know, 2, 3, 4, 5 last year was a fun race. I mean, heck, last year we even had the Alpines in it. You know, we don't this year, certainly not. Right. But it's one of those where you kind of expected, obviously people want it at the front of the grid, and I get that, and I want that too. But at the same time, you did have a very good race for second, third, and fourth. And it, I thought, if you're, you know, for real, you know, you got to look at Formula One in terms of not just who's winning. And I get that it's boring that Max wins every race, but anybody who's been a longtime Formula One fan remembers the Lewis Hamilton era, remembers the Michael Schumacher era. And one thing that I think changed so much last year, and I think people forget this, is like Lewis used to be 2 laps up on people.
Oh, dude. Yeah.
Like he would lap guys in third.
Yeah. Like he was, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Right. So like, okay. So Max is finishing 40 seconds up or 50 seconds up, or maybe
not
a lap
anymore.
Up.
Not even, that stuff's been cut in half, right? Like we saw in Japan, like that, those gaps aren't as big
as even last year. It wasn't happening last year. I mean, he was lapping guys, but he'd be lapping up to maybe 10th place or something, which is, for, again, long term for Formula One, is a really, really good sign. I think you got to have, it was so embarrassing when you had teams like the Marussia team and what Minardi was at the end before Toro Rosso took it over. And I think some of those Ford Jaguar years, and, you know, that would just be like, they're just, like, who, okay, this, so they employ drivers or whatever, but nobody's going to buy their merch. Nobody's going to get excited about their races, because there's nothing to get excited about. You can't have, when you're talking about a team sport that is now franchised, right? This is what Formula is now, under Formula One is now under Liberty Media. You got to have teams that can be in it at some point. You know, you're going to have back of the pack, you're going to have front of the pack. Nothing's fair in sports, but a more fair opportunity. And you're looking at like a team like Haas that's taking advantage of that again this year, like they did in 2022. Those create exciting storylines, right?
Yeah.
Well, now I want to talk a little bit about Lance Stroll and Fernando Alonso, and this quote that has been making the rounds, because he was talking about how Lance Stroll is crucial on feedback to the team. Lance, he says, is a lot more sensitive, which is more important for the team. I'm a little bit more insensitive to things sometimes, and this is not a good thing. And I think what he's talking about is not insensitive in the sense that, like, you know, somebody's having an argument and the other person isn't listening to them. We're talking about insensitive as in Fernando is extremely tenacious as a driver, can react and adjust to anything, whereas Lance, maybe not so much. And when you are tenacious the way Fernando is, it can sometimes hold you back. At least this is the point he seems to be making, because you're unable to give feedback to the team that can help them improve the car. Do you agree with that assessment, or is he just being kind to Lance?
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armorall, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armorall products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at Armorall.com. Armorall, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh, no, I think when it comes to, like, feel, like, in feeling what the car is doing, you have some drivers who are really good at that, and they're good at giving that feedback because they can actually feel literally everything that's happening with the car. And that's really important when you want to improve your race car and go in the right direction. And then sometimes you have other drivers who can just basically like, oh, the car is like doing this, I'm just going to drive around it. But the long-term effects that has on your development is detriment, right? It's very detrimental to your team because you're not providing those incremental components of feedback to help them improve something. And that's essentially kind of what Fernando is saying here, is that, you know, the thing with Lance is he's very good at feeling everything that the car is doing. And so that is providing the feedback to the team, which is allowing them to either make the parts or go in the directions that they need to go in with the race car, where Fernando just gets in the car and just goes. And at some point it's going to start holding him back because there are going to be problems that he can't just drive around. They need to have fixes for. And so you want to have those fixes before that starts happening. And that's where, you know, that where what he's trying to get at there. And I think, you know, the thing is with having these two drivers on the, like, look, they're both like, obviously Fernando is, he's probably one of the greatest racing F1 drivers ever. Like, ever.
Yes, no question.
No questions. And then you've got Lance, who is, you know, not only learning from Fernando, but at the same time providing the feedback that the team actually really needs to make this thing a better race car. So when you get into maybe certain points last season, Fernando gets to a point where he just can't drive around a problem, right? And Lance has already found the problem, and he's helping them develop the solutions. And so at the same time, you know, Lance has had some good races this season. And again, you know, he's had some difficult races this season. We've already gone into detail and all that.
I liked his Australia and I liked his Jeddah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, well, like even like Bahrain, like his race in Bahrain was very impressive from the standpoint. You get taken out, you get spun out, you're at the ass end of the grid. And now you got to try and figure out, okay, well, how are you going to get from the ass end of the grid and score a point, which is extremely difficult to do in this current regulation because everyone is so even and so close.
Yeah.
And obviously he was able to make that happen. And that comes down to tire management, right? Having that experience to understand what the tire needs to get to where you need it to go, to preserve it, to then attack and then execute the ending of the race plan, which he was able to do. And then Australia, I thought he was fantastic.
Yeah,
he was great. I think he outpaced Fernando in pretty much every session. There were points at other of these other events where Lance was quicker at certain points than Fernando was. I think it's that consistency of like, okay, what happened in Australia? You kind of got to carry that, try and find a way of carrying that on. Mm-hmm. And yeah, no, I like the driver pairing. I think like what both drivers bring to Aston Martin is important. And for a team like that, that's really growing, I mean, they need as much feedback as they can get from both drivers coming into this weekend here in China. I mean, Lance obviously going back to the UK, putting in a ton of time in the simulator to get ready for China. I mean, I think, like, he was in that thing up until the last minute before they flew him out to China. So yeah, it's
well,
I like following Aston Martin, Adam. I like watching this team develop.
We catch a lot of crap for two things. Number one, the belief in Ricardo as a driver, because it's super fun for the internet to dislike what Daniel Ricciardo is doing right now. I think there are a lot of people that don't like his charm, don't believe he's a race car driver anymore. And we catch a lot of crap for Lance Stroll compliments because the fact is that, you know, we're Canadians, so we're seen as biased. We're also seen to be, you know, defending a you know, what people would call as a paid driver. And there's no doubt that his dad owns the team, like, duh. But Tim, when you get into the actual drives themselves, Lance, you know, obviously Fernando has outperformed him, But Lance has had really good performances that I think go unnoticed. And I think people want to, a lot of times, discount whatever he does well because he grew up with some significant wealth behind him.
Yeah. And then, I mean, I think the narrative of commitment is a little off the mark as well. I mean, like, you, if you get into a race car, like, you have to be committed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, like, figure it out. You're going like 300 kph, you know, towards concrete walls. Like, what more commitment, you know, do you need? And we're talking tenths of a second, right? It's not like we're talking seconds that separates some of these drivers. And when you talk about that, like, you need to have that commitment to push, to be aggressive, to take the risk, and to put things on the limit. And if you're not doing that, like, you're not tenths of a second, you're seconds.
Yes.
Off. Like, seconds. Like, not tenths.
Yeah. Yeah, I know it frustrates you, and that's okay. But, you know, it's popular to hate these guys. Speaking of Ricciardo, he talked a little bit about the fact that he's not blind to that he's not at a great start, that he has been out qualified, but he believes that we haven't seen the best of him. And I actually thought things would turn around in Suzuka when he was a couple tenths off of Yuki Tsunoda for that last spot in Q3. Had he not spun out in corner one or two, it could have been a much different race for Daniel Ricciardo. Where do you think he stands now? Obviously, there's the rebuilt chassis thing that's been floating around. What do you think? What do you think China has in store for this guy?
Yeah, well, Ricciardo's going to get a new chassis for China.
Yep.
I think for him, he wants this to help kind of turn that season around for him. I think when it comes to Ricciardo, I mean, Tsunoda has done a great job.
Yes.
At like, he's been just fired right out of the gates at the start of the season. Like, he's been fantastic.
Been amazing.
Right?
He's been amazing. Yeah.
I think for Daniel, it's trying to figure out the car, figure out what he needs from it to get the performance. Now, when you go back to Japan, it's not like he was, you know, seconds off of Yuki Tsunoda. He was like tenths, hundredths, right? Fine details we're talking here. The Red Bull program is an extremely high pressured environment, and so there isn't a lot of wiggle room, you know, to make mistakes or to, you know, be completely off the pace from your teammate. And at some points this season, you know, Daniel has been pretty far back, but I would say to that, you know, what does his last race say? His last race says that it does appear he's kind of closed up a gap to Yuki, right?
And that's so people will watch this and not believe that. So what can you offer a little bit of why you believe that? Why you say that?
Go back and look at lap times. Like, I mean, just go back and take a look at what happened in qualifying. Compare that to the qualifying before. Compare that to the qualifying before that qualifying. Compare that qualifying before the. I mean, because that's where you're seeing what a driver's capable of doing with the ultimate pace of the car that they have, right? Mm-hmm. And that's it. I mean, and I think for Ricciardo on also on his side, it's also add him the experience, right? Like, there were rumors kicking around that he was going to be replaced by Liam Lawson if he doesn't improve, but by Liam Lawson by like Miami or something. Mm-hmm. I mean, that from my understanding, like that stuff's not true.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, I mean, he has the resume to back up the fact that when he's able to get it together, dial it in, and be competitive, he is. He is all of those things. I think for him, it's trying to figure out what he needs from this car in particular to make him fast.
Right. Right.
That's all there is to it, man.
Well, and I look at this and I think, okay, so, you know, Sergio Perez has changed his setup. You know, he's not, you know, his setup last year, he tried to deviate from Max Verstappen. Now Helmut Marko has said they're close to the same in terms of their setup. And look at that. Sergio's performed extraordinarily well. It's the best start of his career. You know, even though they are talking to Carlos Sainz, it would seem that that's probably not going to be a fit. And I don't think Carlos wants to come in and play second fiddle to anybody. And so with Checo understanding his role on the team and Daniel struggling, it will leave question marks if Daniel can't get it together over the next 3-4 races. It doesn't matter what the excuses are, Tim. At a certain point, you do have to get results. You know, the spinouts and the this and the that. Like, he's got to start winning qualifying sessions at very least. And then he's got to start finishing in the points. This team is good enough to finish in the points.
Yeah, and then I would also throw into the wrinkle of that that, you know, Liam Lawson, if he's not, you know, given a seat in that Red Bull Racing family, whether it be at Red Bull Racing or RB, I mean, technically he can walk away from that whole deal for next season. Like, technically he can go somewhere else. If someone throws him something better, I mean, there's that opportunity there for him to go and do that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean...
Not hard to imagine, too, teams that like that don't have their lineup set. Like, imagine Liam Lawson going to like a Williams and racing with Alex Albon, right? That would be a pretty solid lineup. Teams that are willing to take on rookies. Can you see Haas taking a shot? Absolutely. Can they afford him? That's a different story. Depending upon how much money they want to spend on their drivers, because it's usually around $1 million. But, you know, long story short, they do have some decisions to make at that Red Bull program, and I think it's on Daniel Ricciardo to make it difficult. He's got to make it harder for them. And right now, if the season ended today, I think everybody knows what would happen. And that's the part where, you know, it's there with Ricciardo. He's got to put it together. And at a certain point, you can't make excuses anymore. You're either getting the results or you're not. The reasons why don't matter.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. That's true. It's like, you make a good point where if the season were to end like right now, I mean, the chances of Ricciardo being back in that seat or moving up the grid to RBR, I mean, it's probably not happening.
So last couple minutes here, because I know you got to go. My question to you is, what are you looking out for this weekend? What's intriguing you? It's our first Chinese Grand Prix since 2019, Tim. We're going to see some drivers. There's a lot of rookie drivers on this course. You can do the sims all you want, but if you haven't raced Formula One on this course, then you're a rookie. And all the drivers, every single one of them, is a rookie with these regulations. Not a single one of these drivers has raced here under the current regulations.
Yep.
What do you think will win out? Rookies with nothing to lose or vets with all the experience?
I think the experience, Adam, has got to be the most important thing. And also, I think like there are different parts of there's so much that's going to go on this weekend because of the sprint race that we're going to get that's factored into all of that. The Parc Fermé settings that we now have for the sprint weekend. I mean, you've got a small Parc Fermé session at the end of sprint qualifying. And then you've got Parc Fermé being opened again while you get your car ready for Grand Prix qualifying, and then going back into Parc Fermé again, which is actually, I think, is a better idea to do that, because it's just going to be better for the teams and we won't get cars being disqualified. So it's better. It's better to do it this way. This makes more sense. I should have done this years ago. But at the end of the day, Adam, I think this race is going to throw us a lot of curveballs. I think also we could have a very exciting race where we see potentially Ferrari really putting pressure on Red Bull, if not maybe squeaking out a win here. Maybe.
All right, if it is a Ferrari win. If it is a Ferrari win, Tim, I want it right now. Is it Charles or is it Carlos?
Man, I got to see the cars on the track.
Come on, make a pick. Let's go.
Okay, if Ferrari is able to squeeze out a win, I'm going to say Carlos Sainz.
Whoa. I know you're a big Carlos Sainz guy, and I know you've been this way for years. So I'm not surprised.
He's got a lot to prove, Adam. He's got a lot to prove. He's going to prove everybody wrong.
Tim, I want you to enjoy the weekend. When we next speak, you will have had zero sleep. So, you know, we got Sleepy Tim on Sunday. Really looking forward to it. It's your Trump nickname, Sleepy Tim.
Hey, let's go. Sleepy Tim works. All right, let's do it.
All right, buddy. Enjoy the weekend.
Thanks, Ben.